Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? That's right, it's about that time. Welcome to another edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Wednesday, better known as Hump Day, June 12th, 2019. Happy June 12th to you all. It's a gorgeous day here in mid-Michigan. And we thank you all for allowing us to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. A lot to get to. It's a busy week. It has been a busy week here on WKAR's Current Sports. We have talked a lot about the NBA Finals and what is taking place between the Toronto Raptors and the Golden State Warriors. That was pretty much the foundation of the show yesterday. And didn't get a chance, though, to elaborate on two unfortunate stories concerning two former Michigan State ballers. Connor Cook, former quarterback of the Michigan State football team, the most decorated quarterback in Spartan history, and Deonte Davis, who was a one-and-done player under the leadership of Tom Izzo and the Michigan State men's basketball team. Both players have been waived, and I've got a few points I want to make concerning both of their stories. All right. Also, the United States women's national soccer team just put on a beatdown, taking on Thailand. 13-0 was your final, and it was the biggest margin of victory in the history of the United States women's national soccer team. The most goals scored ever in World Cup history for the United States women's national soccer team. And a lot of people are upset about it. I'll explain why later on this hour, and you'll get my thoughts on why those said individuals are oh so very wrong. And we will welcome my dear friend Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network and Press Pass, which you can watch Sunday nights on Fox 47. Jack Ebling will join the hour during segment B as we have some pretty exciting news concerning the late, great Earl Robinson and how we plan on paying tribute to him. I know I've been getting a lot of questions out there from folks, you know, asking about arrangements and, you know, is there going to be something put together to honor Earl? Well, we've got some exciting news that we can pass along your way. Trust you, don't want to miss this chat with Jack Ebling. I'm excited to have him on. I was a part of his radio show yesterday as he broke the news on his show, and we plan on breaking it here on Current Sports around 1:30. All right? So, a lot to get to. If you would like to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News and comment below that live stream. You can also weigh in on Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News. And you can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. You know what's next? Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, folks, we start here. Less than a week after placing his name into the NCAA transfer portal, Michigan wide receiver Oliver Martin has reportedly opted to leave, and he's headed back to his home state. Martin, no relation, has transferred to the University of Iowa, keeping the former four-star recruit in the Big Ten for the foreseeable future. The school made that announcement on Tuesday evening. All right, congratulations to the Eaton Rapids softball team. How exciting is this? Less than a week after placing his name, well, that's the other headliner. The Eaton Rapids softball team has made it to the state semifinals, folks. Got a chance to catch some of the highlights of that game on the local news last night. And ER is going to the state semifinals for back-to-back seasons. Just an exciting time out in ER. You know, I highlighted the Eaton Rapids baseball and softball programs last week on the show because the baseball team also had an incredible year. And to watch what the Greyhounds have done in the world of softball has been pretty amazing. So congratulations to ER Softball advancing to the state semifinals for a chance to possibly win a state championship. Awesome stuff there. Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final will take place today. That's right. The two greatest words in sports, folks. Tonight, you can catch Game 7 between the St. Louis Blues and the Boston Bruins. And St. Louis is 9-3 on the road in these playoffs. They will be playing at Boston. And Blues goalie Jordan Binnington has only allowed more than 2 goals in a game following a loss once in these playoffs. The Blues lost Game 6, 5-1 in St. Louis. Only 2 Game 7s of the Stanley Cup Final have ever gone to overtime, with the Detroit Red Wings winning both in 1950 and 1954. All right, the Lansing Lugnuts have won 4 of their first 6 games to kick off a 10-day road trip featuring 11 contests. The production of catcher and first baseman Hagen Danner has played a part in that success. The 20-year-old Danner, the second-round draft pick of the Toronto Blue Jays back in 2017, was named the Midwest League's Player of the Week on Monday for his contributions in the strong start to the road trip. He is the first Lugnuts player recognized by the league this season. So congratulations to Hagen Danner, again, earning Midwest League Player of the Week on Monday. All right. The Detroit Tigers, yeah, they're not having a great season. 24-39 overall. They will continue this series against the Kansas City Royals today. But yesterday, they ended up losing 3-2. And I didn't watch the game. But I did catch highlights of it on ESPN. And apparently, the game was tied, or they may have had the lead at, you know, at going into the 9th inning, and there was just a complete and utter error. I don't know who the two players were, but the ball just popped up. I think it could have been either the second out or third out of the inning, and they just let it fall near the foul line, just inside the foul line. 2 Detroit Tigers players there, and the Royals ended up scoring off of that blooper, and the Tigers lose that game. So just embarrassing stuff right now from the Detroit Tigers. So, all right, moving on. The NFL had 5 teams to choose from in this year's version of Hard Knocks, the uber-popular HBO show. And the league has finally made its decision. This year's version of the HBO show will feature the Oakland Raiders. Clearly the right choice. If they would have gone with another team, i.e. the Detroit Lions, the only people that would have cared about watching that on HBO would have been those here in this great state of Michigan. But the Raiders have so many sexy storylines on this team right now. You got a TV star and head coach John Gruden. This should be compelling. I'm excited to check this out. So it could be the craziest season of the show ever. That's what many people are predicting. HBO's cameras will be following around Gruden and the Raiders. A Raiders team that has made nonstop headlines all offseason. Not only did the Raiders trade for Antonio Brown, but they added multiple controversial players in Vontaze Burfict and Richie Incognito. Haven't heard that name in a while, right? The NFL's decision to put the Raiders on Hard Knocks happened even though owner Mark Davis made it pretty clear this offseason that he wanted no part of the show. This is what Davis said in March. Quote, "It would be disruptive. We've got a lot of business to take care of. Get ready for the season. I appreciate what they might think we'd be great TV, but we got something else to accomplish." So, yeah, that's what that's what Mark Davis said back in March, and the league said, "We don't care about your quote. We want you on the television screen for HBO's Hard Knocks." I am very excited about this. Okay, Clarissa Shields making headlines today because in an attempt to become the fastest fighter, male or female, to win three world titles in three different divisions, the Flint native, I call her Flint's favorite daughter, Clarissa Shields, will fight professionally in her hometown for the first time. The undisputed middleweight world champ faces former world champ Ivana Hobson for the vacant WBO junior middleweight and vacant WBC women's super welterweight titles on Saturday, August 19th at Dort Federal Event Center in Flint, Michigan. How about that? Mark your calendars. Again, Clarissa Shields can make history on August 17th. This is what Shields had to say in a news release. Quote, "It's hard to even put into words how excited I am to be returning home as undisputed champ and fighting in front of all my fans in Flint and having the opportunity to become world champ in a third weight division faster than any man or woman in boxing history will make August 17th a night I will cherish forever. It's another big step forward in lifting women's boxing on the road to equality." Now, the 24-year-old Shields is 9-0, has two knockouts, and is the first American boxer to win consecutive gold medals in 2012 and 2016. We covered that. You know, I remember going out to Flint and going to the airport out there in Flint and interviewing Clarissa Shields and seeing the fanfare. That was that moment. And, you know, what I love about Clarissa is that, you know, she is really putting the sport of female boxing on her shoulders and really lifting it up. She really is. It's been quite remarkable to watch her career blossom since the Olympics. And what I love also about Clarissa is that, you know, she does not shy away from talking trash. You know, she's like a female version of Floyd Mayweather. She really is, but she backs it up. She really does back it up. Congratulations to Clarissa. I'm looking forward to that fight in August. I may have to attend that one. That may be fun to go to. All right, the U.S. Women's National Team are the defending champs and the favorite to win the 2019 FIFA Women's World Cup. But no one predicted them setting a World Cup record on Tuesday in that 13-0 rout of Thailand to open up their title defense. You've already heard it called a record-breaking win, but which records did they break? Well, I'm glad you asked. Most goals scored by a team in a World Cup match. Folks, that's in men's and women's soccer. All right? Also, largest margin of victory in a World Cup match. And a tie here for most goals scored by a player in a World Cup match. The great Alex Morgan accomplished that feat yesterday. And also, there's one more. Most individual goal scorers in a single women's World Cup match. Now, the previous record for most goals scored by a team was set by the German women's national football team during the 2007 FIFA Women's World Cup. In group stage match, Germany beat Argentina by a 11-0 scoreline. The record 9-goal margin of victory in that match was also put to rest by the U.S. women's 13-goal conquest on Tuesday. quite remarkable. But you know what? There are some people that aren't happy with what went down in that matchup between the United States Women's National Soccer Team and Thailand. I'll explain why, and I'll also explain why those people are so, so wrong. And Tim Tebow is coming to Grand Rapids this fall. How about this? Tebow, pro athlete, ESPN analyst, and author, will be featured as speaker on October 23rd to the 27th at Calvin College as part of the second Global Congress on Sport and Christianity. Now, Tebow's talk, according to a press release, is part of a gathering that brings together sport administrators, players, coaches, pastors, ministry leaders, professors, and students to explore the ways that sport and Christianity impact one another. That's awesome. I love that. Tim Tebow, coming to Grand Rapids this fall. All right, that does it for your current sports quick hit headliners. You can weigh in by calling in 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News, where I am being told that we do not have audio for a second straight day. That does not make me happy at all. That's technology, though, so I'm not going to let it get me stressed out. Woosah. Let me just rub behind my ears right now. You know, just calm down. So I see your messages. Ben, I see you. I'm sure we had some callers call in. Say, hey, the live stream is down again. Don't know what's going on. We'll figure this thing out. We will have audio, if not today, on tomorrow's Current Sports, okay? But you can weigh in still at WKAR News. You can also tweet me at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here we go. All right, folks, happy Wednesday to you all. It is June 12th, 2019. A great day to be alive, a great day here in mid-Michigan. Thank you so much for allowing us to be a part of your Wednesday afternoon. We've got Connor Mathis and Jack Kerwin behind the glass. Real quick, I'll just get this out the way right now. Jack is behind there. Jack, I know you're sitting down in the back, but I do just want to get your brief thoughts on Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, because, you know, I want to do that justice. Oh, Jack is actually, he is sprinting in Studio S right now, because this is big. You know, my two favorite words in sports, I always say this, are Game 7. It does not get better than a Game 7, and when you have a Game 7 on the grandest stage of whatever sport you're talking about, if it's a series format, I mean, it's amazing. So, tonight in Boston, the St. Louis Blues will take on the Boston Bruins. Jack, what do you think is going to happen tonight, man?
I've been thinking about this all morning, and more I think about it, the more and more I'm convincing myself I really do think the St. Louis Blues are going to pull it out on the road. Even though, you know, the Boston Bruins have blown them out twice in this series, and I mean, they were the better team in the regular season, I just can't get over the fact that St. Louis has been much better on the road than at home in these playoffs and even in this series, because, I mean, the narrative's been, you know, prior to Game 6, that the Blues have to win in Game 6 because they don't want to go to Boston for Game 7, mm-hmm. except they're 2-1 in Boston right now in this series.
Right.
So they're 9-3 on the road in the playoffs as a whole, and they're 2-1 in Boston. And I put it in the headliners for you that their goalie, Jordan Binnington, following a loss has only allowed more than two goals once in these playoffs. So I really do think the St. Louis Blues will pull it out tonight. Now that I've made that prediction, they'll probably lose 7-0. But I feel pretty good about it, to be completely honest with you. And I'm just tired of seeing Boston win, too. So
I know, right? I mean,
the Blues.
Boston fans are so spoiled and when it comes to various sports, right? And the Celtics and, of course, the Patriots. And now you look at the Bruins. Do you think this will be close?
I think it will be. I don't think it's going to be the most entertaining game just because a lot of game sevens in the playoffs are kind of like that because both teams kind of play close to the vest.
Okay.
And there aren't a whole lot of risks being taken on either side. Guys don't get caught down ice very often, so you don't see as many scoring chances.
Right.
But, I mean, I think it'll be a pretty low-scoring affair with the way these two goalies have played for the most part. So probably a 2-1 or a 3-2 game, and you could even see overtime.
Awesome. I'll be tuning in. I can't miss this tonight.
I probably won't be tuning in, to be honest with you. I got work tonight.
Oh, you got to work. Okay, I was about to say. I mean, Jack, you're like the biggest hockey nut I know.
I'll watch as soon as I can whenever I get home, but hopefully I'm not at work too late tonight.
Again, you guys know I don't watch much hockey, but Game 7 and Stanley Cup Finals, yeah, I'm going to be sitting there watching. And Connor, I know you have an interesting story when it comes to your hockey interest because you've been playing NHL hockey on Xbox, and you have become like, you know, a fan of the sport now, I think, right?
That is a little, yeah, a little bit. I jokingly started rooting for the Golden Knights because I didn't have a team. Mm-hmm. And so my friend was like, oh yeah, I'll get you some Golden Knights stuff. I'm like, all right, well, cool. I'll root for the Golden Knights.
So that's your team now?
That's my team. I have a Golden Knights hat. I got it at the Hockey Hall of Fame when I was in Toronto. So I guess I'm all in on Vegas.
Dig that. Just hopping on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
You know, I'm curious, Jack, how did Las Vegas do this season? Because I know last year, you know, we talked about that story a lot here on the show, how they were a new team, the new kids on the block, and they had, you know, they're an expansion team, so they had all these players picked from different yeah. squads around the yeah. league, and they go that far in the NHL playoffs. How did they do this season? I don't know.
I guess you don't remember. They were eliminated controversially in the first round because they were winning 3-0 in Game 7 in the third period, and one of their players
against who?
San Jose, who was out in the conference finals to St. Louis last series, but I digress. They were up 3-0 with less than 10 minutes left in the third period of Game 7. You think they're going to win. One of their players commits a cross-checking 5-minute major penalty, and San Jose, in a 5-minute span on the power play, scored 4 times.
Wow.
And wound up beating them in overtime, 5-4.
Oh, my goodness.
So they took a 4-3 lead.
In the third period, they were
less than 10 minutes left.
Oh
yeah,
my goodness.
Vegas was up 3-0. San Jose scored 4 times in less than 5 minutes. Vegas scored again with like a minute and a half left to tie the game and send it to overtime, and San Jose won in overtime in Game 7.
That's pretty wild.
In other words, Alex, it's been the worst season in franchise history. I mean, it's just been real rough.
It's been a brutal
season.
Oh, that's awesome stuff. Okay, all right. Well, Jack, thank you for that, man. We'll have a lot of chatter because I'm going to be on the couch watching this thing. And I'm going to do my best to try and break down what I see. All right, so.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, it should be a fun conversation tomorrow. All right, what I want to dive into now, I want to touch on this before we welcome Jack Ebling to the show. We've got some exciting news when it comes to how we plan on honoring the life and the legacy of my predecessor, the great Earl Robinson. Don't miss that. That comes in 5 minutes, all right? But I do want to comment on the unfortunate situations that two Michigan State players are undergoing right now in the professional ranks. That being Deontay Davis and Connor Cook. I'm going to start with Cook because Cook is a player that, I mean, he goes down as the winningest quarterback in Michigan State football history. What he was able to do here in East Lansing was really quite remarkable. He was starting quarterback for MSU's greatest seasons of the past decade. During his 3-year run as the starter, the Spartans went 34-5, won 2 Big Ten championships, a Rose Bowl, a Cotton Bowl, and reached the college football playoff. We all know what happened in that game, but that's beside the point. They played Alabama, got blown out in Texas, but still. 34-5 is what Connor Cook went here in East Lansing. 2 Big Ten championships, a Rose Bowl, a Cotton Bowl, and you go to the college football playoff. Cook, he surpassed Kirk Cousins as MSU's winningest quarterback with those 34 victories and remains the program's career record holder in pass attempts, passing yards, passing touchdowns with 71, and total offense with 9,403 yards. And, you know, Connor, I really thought that Connor Cook was going to go to the league and have a solid career. I really thought when you watch his career here at Michigan State, you know, some of those throws that he would pull off were NFL-type throws. But if you haven't heard, Connor Cook, he was waived recently, actually 2 days ago, to be honest with you guys, June 10th, by the Detroit Lions. On January 1st of this year, he had signed a reserve/future contract with the Lions, and he just got cut. He was drafted by the Oakland Raiders in the fourth round with the 100th pick of the 2016 NFL draft. He was the seventh quarterback chosen in the draft. And in May of that year, back in 2016, the Raiders signed him to a four-year, $2.95 million contract with a signing bonus of a little over $600,000. And, you know, he began his rookie season with the Raiders, third-string QB on the depth chart behind Derek Carr and second-stringer Matt McGloin. And, you know, he was actually raised to backup QB after Carr suffered a season-ending right fibula injury. In January of 2017, he made his NFL debut, entering the game in the first half against, after starter. McGloin suffered a shoulder injury, and he played for the remainder of the game. Threw an NFL touchdown to Amari Cooper, completed 14 of 21 passes for 150 yards, a touchdown, and an INT as the Raiders end up losing that game to the Denver Broncos. But, you know, it's like after that, you know, Cook just never really found his footing. He just didn't. Again, after appearing in two NFL games since being drafted by the Raiders in that fourth round, and after that debut, he received his only career start the following week after that game, actually against the Broncos, in a first-round playoff game, completing 18 of 45 attempts, 161 yards, through three INTs, as they lost to the Houston Texans 27-14. And now, you know, you look at how his career has gone. You know, he went to the Carolina Panthers. He signed to the Carolina Panthers practice squad, was released in October of 2018. So he wasn't even there really a month. September 6th is when he signed on the Panthers practice squad. October 9th is when he was released. He was signed to the Cincinnati Bengals practice squad in November of that same year. And then that didn't work out. And then he ended up signing with the Detroit Lions, as I noted at the beginning of January. So I just asked this simple question. Connor, I believe that this is it for Connor Cook's NFL career. I think that, you know, we've seen him on the Raiders. He went to the Panthers and then the Bengals, and now you get cut by the Lions. Of all teams, I just don't see Connor Cook, unless we have some kind of miracle comeback story here. He is going to have to play, I don't know, in the CFL somewhere or try. Maybe you can try to make another practice squad in the NFL somewhere. But I just don't see. And it's really unfortunate because I really thought, you know, I gave you the numbers. I really thought that Connor Cook was going to be an NFL quarterback who can come in maybe after 2 years under somebody. Would you know, and maybe given a shot with injury, and again, when I saw Derek Carr go down, I said, okay, you know, this is an opportunity for Connor Cook to possibly make some headlines here. But you know, now after this is being now his fourth opportunity, I don't see Connor Cook having a long successful career in the National Football League anymore. I think that ship has sailed.
Well, I think he really never got a solid chance either. I mean, with the Raiders, he was there when they were going through a regime change. His first real start was against a top two defense in the NFL, in the playoffs, no less. And every situation he's gone to has not been, like, optimal for him. Carolina Panthers, he was the fourth guy amongst two younger guys that were up there. And all these other places, he's not been really given a solid, I don't think, a solid shot.
You don't think so?
I don't think so.
Well, it's the thing. I mean,
if you go into preseason preseason stuff, he hasn't gotten that much time. But again, I don't want to rule out his career being done. I think he can probably get on another practice squad just because preseason injuries happen. I mean, we're only in June. By July, August, there will be probably at least one or two really bad injuries during the training camps and things like that, where there's a good chance he will get a chance back on like a practice squad or a preseason squad.
Like you said, he came in after Carr got injured, and after, I should say, McGloin and Carr got injured, and you have to play the Denver Broncos and you lose 24-6. That was a really good Broncos team. And then you look at what happened after that, and you go to the playoffs, and in the AFC wild card game, you got to play the Houston Texans. That's a bad card that Connor Cook was dealt. And then in 2017, he saw no action, third string quarterback behind Carr, and then EJ Manuel came to the squad, if you remember that year. So he's behind EJ and he's behind Derek at that point. He was only active for one game the entire season, and then again, this is the thing too. When it comes to success at the next level, it's circumstantial as well. You know, the circumstance that you come in with that respective ball club has to be ideal. When you got to get chances, there's a little bit of luck involved as well. And, he was released after the Raiders traded for A.J. McCarron. That's business. That's the business of the pros. So, like you said, there maybe is still an opportunity, but the fact that, we're talking about practice squads here and the Lions just cut him and he wasn't good enough to make that practice squad signing. Well, he signed that reserve / future contract with the Lions, and then they cut him. Well, obviously, something in practice isn't clicking with Cook's play and the coaches.
It's too early to determine practice squads. Those don't get determined until August. So you don't know if he's going to necessarily be on a practice squad. The Lions may have cut him for now as camp bodies come around. But like I said, we're still in June. By July, August, there will be injuries. There will be needs. And there's a good chance he gets on those practice squad teams. It's too early right now to determine, obviously, who's on what practice squad. Because at the end of every NFL season, those practice squad players get thrown onto the roster formally. I think there's still a chance that he gets back even in some preseason type action stuff just to get acquainted with it. But I mean, it's not looking the greatest.
All right, before we hit this break and bring on Jack Ebling, I'll ask this: on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being incredible disappointment, how would you place the career, the professional career of Connor Cook? 1 to 10.
1 to 10, probably in,
I'm disappointed.
8 or 9.
8 or 9.
Yeah.
It's a 9 for me. It really is. Because again, looking at what Connor was able to do in college, I really thought that he was going to be a starter in the league. And it really is unfortunate. Jack, what about you? On a scale from 1 to 10?
1 to 10,
10 being just ridiculously disappointed.
Two. He was a fourth round pick. The only guy picked in the mid rounds who's a starting quarterback from the last like 5 years, I believe, is Dak Prescott.
Really? He's at a 2.
Yeah, because I mean,
what were your expectations when Connor came into the league?
I thought Connor Cook would be a good NFL quarterback, but I mean, I think it was very telling that he got drafted where he did. He wasn't a high pick, and people were leading up to the draft seeing him as the third best quarterback in a lot of people's eyes, and I believe Mel Kiper's eyes, behind only Jared Goff and Carson Wentz.
Yeah.
But I mean, at the draft, it didn't work out that way. I mean, he went after Jacoby Brissett. He went after Paxton Lynch. So, I mean, for me, no, I don't think you can justify it as a failure, because NFL analysts didn't obviously view this guy as an NFL quarterback, or at least not one who was expected to immediately come in and compete for a starting role.
So, again, it depends on the lens of what you look at through it, right?
I mean, exactly.
If you're looking at where he was drafted on that quarterback, in that quarterback pool, you're sitting there saying to yourself, okay, well, they don't think he's going to be that great at the next level or move the needle at least. But for Michigan State fans, I really do believe, I mean, it's pretty disappointing.
Well, and saying all this, please understand, he's my favorite college football player ever. And
really,
my mind, he's the best quarterback in the history of Michigan State.
He was so good, wasn't he? So good. So fun to watch. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll chat with the great Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network and Press Pass Sunday nights on Fox 47. We've got some big news to bring to our listeners out there concerning the late, great Earl Robinson. That and more, you are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. And yes, folks, again, we are having technical difficulties for two straight days when it comes to our Facebook live stream. A lot of people are hitting me up right now, like the world is ending. Yeah, I guess the world is ending whenever you can't watch Current Sports, right? but we're going to get this audio problem figured out for tomorrow. But it's so funny. I was joking with Connor. You know, we still got it up because, you know, I want to put together some promo videos that we'll post online later and I can sync the audio from the show, at least with the video. And without audio still, Connor, we are at 94 views on Facebook. That is so funny to me. I feel incredibly honored right now that, you know, still that, you know, you're watching this with no audio. They probably have it streaming online.
And they have the
live stream up on Facebook with no audio. So, but thank you. Thank you. Our dedicated Current Sports listeners and viewers on Facebook, I really appreciate it. And Connor, I promise you, we planned it for today that we're going to dive into this whole Kawhi Leonard and Kevin Durant debate. Who is the best player on the planet right now? You're going Kawhi. I'm arguing for Kevin Durant. I feel like you can make a really compelling argument for both, but right now I would still give it to Durant. We got to table that, okay? Is that fine? Don't get mad at me, all right? I see your face is angry right now.
No. It just gives me more time. It gives me more time to get more ammo, even though I have a really, really good compelling case thanks to the undefeated. So, we'll see.
And I'm not going to read that piece. I'm not going to cheat and just read that piece and pick it apart. We'll have fun with that later on this week, okay? Right now, I want to get to our guest for today's Current Sports. He's a dear friend of the show, an unbelievable sports broadcaster, a living legend here in mid-Michigan. His name is Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack on Spotlight Radio Network and Press Pass, which you can check out Sunday nights on Fox 47. Jack now joins me as we dive into some exciting news concerning the late, great Earl Robinson. But, you know, before we dive into that, Jack, I do want to ask you, you know, we went into this first break discussing the career of Connor Cook, the latest news concerning Cook. As you know, the Lions cut Cook 2 days ago on June 10th. Where would you place the disappointment of Connor Cook's career on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the most disappointed?
Honestly, Al, it's about what I thought it would be. Maybe it's not over yet. And let's start with the good news. Connor Cook, generally considered the best quarterback in Michigan State history, won 34 games as a starter. They won 36 in 3 years, and I believe he started 34 of those 36.
Yeah.
You know, it took his team to 2 Big Ten championships. 2 wins in Indianapolis, and there are a lot of schools that haven't been there. I would say that with the win in the Rose Bowl MVP, win in the Cotton Bowl MVP, maybe you give him a pass for the playoff game because he was so banged up with his shoulder, he couldn't throw the ball from you to Kerwin. So,
yeah,
you know, that was that might have been, he might have had a pass on that one. But what did we hear? He was going to be maybe a late first rounder, early second rounder.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't happen. Didn't go day one. Didn't go day two. Wound up in the fourth round. And why did that happen? The reason that we kept getting behind the scenes was he had some of the worst interviews.
Yeah, right.
Of any player who has ever had that opportunity.
Exactly.
And dropped, plummeted because of that. I don't know if he couldn't do it at the board. I don't know whether people didn't like his attitude. Whatever it was, he was drafted a lot later than his collegiate statistics and wins would indicate. So, you know, he has been not just a backup quarterback. He's been one injury away from being one injury away.
Mm-hmm. That is very true.
You know, yeah. Here he is with the Lions, and it's pretty clear that he's not going to beat out Matthew Stafford or Tom Savage. He would be number three on that list, but they didn't even feel comfortable with that. They had to bring in someone else. So, you know, you're not the starter. You're not just off being a backup. You're not the number three quarterback on anybody. I don't see teams lining up to get him. So maybe I will be proven wrong, pleasantly surprised. Maybe he will have to go somewhere else. Canada, something like that, and try it there. Maybe that kind of a system would be better in tune with his skill set.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know. Michigan State fans can be extremely grateful for all he did, but I think we find a lot of times, Al, great college quarterbacks are not necessarily pro quarterbacks.
Yep.
And sure, we've seen it with Ohio State quarterbacks, and people say, well, yeah, but look at the difference in the offenses they run. You know, teams are going to run offenses they think can win, and there are mobile quarterbacks. And you look at Connor Cook, you look at the size, you think, okay, he'd be a prototype NFL quarterback. But when 32 teams don't think so, they're usually not wrong.
And, you know, that is a very good point you bring up, Jack, because I totally forgot about the interviews that Connor Cook had and the less than stellar reviews that Connor had when he was sitting down with these respective NFL teams. And that had a lot to do with where he fell in the NFL draft, for sure. All right, Jack, let's get to the big reason why we got you on here today, man, because you have been working on this for quite some time and keeping me in the loop. And I am so honored to be a part of it. I was on the Drive with Jack with you yesterday as you broke the news on your airwaves. Because like you, Jack, I've been getting a lot of calls, a lot of texts, a lot of emails from listeners out there, from friends of the late, great Earl Robinson, 39 years here at WKAR, wondering if there's going to be some type of celebration for him. So, Jack, would you please do the honor, my man?
Yeah, and I appreciate all the help that you've given and will give, Al. Thinking even back to the great show you did just after Earl's passing, that was one of the classics. And if you have not had a chance to hear that, you should go back into the KAR archives and hear it. But
yeah,
we are going to have the life celebration, the tribute to Earl Robinson, on Saturday, July 20th. That is 1 week after what would have been his 72nd birthday. It's going to start at 11 a.m. on that Saturday at Reno's East. And we're going to have a lot of people telling Earl stories. It's going to be kind of a radio show in format, and it will be recorded. And we'll have access to broadcast it, certainly WKAR and Spotlight Radio Network, and I think the Spartan Sports Network with Will Thiemann. And it's going to be available there. So we're going to have lots of chances, but people who would like to come out and pay tribute to Earl, that is the day you can circle it, Saturday, July 20th. And we're just going to have a blast out there talking about Earl's contributions and telling stories. You could sit around and crack yourself up for 3 hours just thinking about some of the great Earl Robinson stories, and we're going to have a chance to tell most of them.
Without a doubt, I'm looking forward to it, Jack, and we'll be co-hosting that event. And
you know
something, Jack, and you know you got to stop by the station, you know, one of these days and check this out.
Yeah.
But you know, it was the day after we had done the tribute show, and you know me, I'm like you, I don't stay up as late as you, but you know I'm a night owl as well on most nights. So I went to the gym. I couldn't sleep. I went to the gym around like 1 a.m.
Yeah.
And I had to stop by the station to grab some notes from my office. So it's like 2:30 a.m., right?
Yeah.
And, you know, just, you know, I'm just, it's just me at the station. And I decide to walk into Earl's old AM studio, right?
Oh, wow.
And I walked in, and it's set up just, you know, nothing has really been touched in there. To show you how much nothing has been touched, I sit down in the chair and just kind of just looked around, man, and just thought to myself, man, if these walls could talk right now, right? And I look to my left, and it's Earl's old bookcase that has not been touched since he has left. And, oh, Jack, you got to see this thing. This thing has sports almanacs dating back, I don't know, way back, Jack. And he's got media guides from MSU basketball during the Magic Johnson days. And one media guide, I had fun with when Jack Curran was engineering the show one day. I think it was the day after I did this. I saw one media guide that I forget what year it was, but it was one of the years when Tom Izzo, he was only in his second season as an assistant coach under Judd. And, boy, you should see this picture of Tom Izzo. Oh, my goodness, Jack. But you just some of the media guides and the books that are on this bookcase, I think we may have to do something with that, man, for sure.
You know, maybe that's an idea, Al. Maybe we can take that bookcase.
Right.
Or at least the items on it. If you don't need them and they weren't being used, obviously they weren't being missed.
Right.
Maybe we can take that over and set it up on the 20th. And then people who come over, if they want to take a piece of Earl with them, maybe a piece of memorabilia besides the facts there. Every time you look at it or touch it, you're going to know that it was something that Earl used every day.
That is an amazing idea. I love that, Jack. Let's do that. I'll shoot you a picture of the bookcase later on today, my man. But it's awesome. It is awesome, man.
That's great. That is great. You know, I had a chance to talk to Tom Izzo about this.
Yeah.
And July is an incredibly busy month for him with recruiting. And it's the month where, you know, he's home long enough to change his underwear. But when I told him what we were doing, he said, hey, anything I can do, you know, for Earl. So we've got some ideas. We've got some things that we're going to do. And we want to have a lot of his listeners, and some of them are listening right now, to take part in this, to come and share in the celebration. We're going to have a few of them actually come up to the microphones or come on the radio with us on the show. But even if you don't want to do that, if you just want to reminisce and revel in the memory, this is your opportunity to do it on July 20th.
Again, folks, mark your calendars, July 20th. Jack, thank you so much for that, man. We'll have you back on multiple times before we, of course, get to that date.
And we have you on Press Pass coming up in July.
Yeah.
You're going to be on one of the panels there. So looking forward to that, too.
I love doing it, man. I love being a part of that show. Thank you so much, Jack.
And if you see Connor Cook, tell him to get back to business and make a team.
That's right. That's what we're rooting for him. We are certainly rooting for him. Again, the great Jack Ebling, host of The Drive with Jack, on Spotlight Radio Network and Press Pass Sunday nights on Fox 47. And real quick, Jack, what are you guys chatting about at 3 o'clock, my man?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything. We have Keith Gave, who was the author of The Russian Five, and he's one of the top national experts on the National Hockey League. We're going to preview Game 7 tonight in Boston, and then we have Steve Finnemore with us, and he's going to talk about the NBA Finals. And then we're going to spend a lot of time on golf with Brian Harris from Golf MSU and Forest Acres. We're out there tomorrow, and we're going to preview the U.S. Open for probably 45 minutes.
Oh, that's great. That sounds like a great show. Again, check out The Drive with Jack today at 3 p.m. on Spotlight Radio Network. Jack, much appreciated, my man.
Talk to you soon now.
All right, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on this Wednesday edition of Current Sports by addressing the United States women's national soccer team and that thumping of Thailand and why some had an issue with the result of that game. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. Again, much thanks to Jack Ebling for being a part of the hour. If you have not heard, if you didn't catch the majority of that chat with Jack, we are celebrating the late, great Earl Robinson, who sadly passed away not too long ago. My predecessor, the man who held down this seat that I'm sitting in here at WKAR for 39 years. We are celebrating the life and legacy of Earl on July 20th, all right, at Reno's. As Jack and myself will be hosting that celebration, and we're inviting the public out. If you knew Earl, want to talk about his legacy, and, you know, if you're a longtime listener, please show up. We'll have more details to come as we approach that date, but we do have that date at least set in stone right now, July 20th, and I'm certainly looking forward to that. All right. Connor, did you catch what happened in the World Cup
yesterday? I watched some of the brutal aftermath to the point where my roommate had the last couple minutes of the game up on his phone. He's like, they scored again. And it's like, it's the 90th minute. They scored again. And like, why? At one point, he just kind of yelled, why is the ref adding stoppage time? They're just going to score again. And then, oh, there you go. They scored again.
Exactly. It was a thumping. I mean, a historic thumping. 13, a record scoreline of 13-0. And, you know, as we approach the end of the hour here, you know, there are, like many sports, there are like unwritten rules, right, of decorum, you know, when it comes to playing that respective sport. You know, baseball gets upset about things like bat flips, right? You know,
stupid.
You can't flip the bat, Connor.
Stupid.
It's disrespectful.
So stupid. This is why I hate baseball.
I hate baseball, too. When it comes to that aspect, bat flipping, you can't do it. Also, bunting during no hitters, you'll get jumped for that. You can't do that. And in soccer, you know, when you have a lopsided match, you know, there is some decorum that I guess comes with that, some unwritten rule that comes with that. And there were some that were upset at how the United States women's national soccer team celebrated and kept celebrating after goals 1 through 13 continuously hit the back of the net. And, you know, I was watching some Canadian broadcasters just pick apart the United States women's national soccer team, saying that this is totally classless. You don't keep celebrating after you're just thumping Thailand left and right. This is not what you do. It's disrespectful to the game. And I'm sitting there saying to myself, hold on. This is sports. You know, the goal, no pun intended, is to score goals. All right, this is soccer. This is the biggest stage of women's soccer nationally. I mean, how do you expect them to react? You know, they've been training for this for years, putting in time and effort to become the powerhouse that they are in women's national soccer. So if you score a goal and you've been waiting for this moment for years and years and years, you expect them to have a reaction that's ho-hum? I don't get it. And it's still, you know, a quote. From the great Bobby Bowden. You know, he famously said, look, quote, he didn't say look, that's just the Al Martin flavor to it, quote, it's not my job to stop my team. That's your job. I have always taken the side of this argument, you know, when we've talked about running up the score in other sports, you know, I remember when we had this whole big debate here on Current Sports discussing the U documentary and how Jimmy Johnson, when he was the head coach of the U and they were dominating teams, and he didn't care. You know, he beat you by 70 points and they would celebrate all day long. You've seen the U documentary. If you haven't, please do yourself a favor and check that out. But if you don't like it, stop me. Simple as that. It's sports. The goal is to win And if you're if they don't stop you and you're continuing to score, that's not your problem. All right. And I had no problem with this, Connor. And this is, I guess, what comes with being, because the perception now, you know, when you are the top team in any sport, when you're the top program, in this case nationally, when it comes to women's soccer, not only are you beating this team by 13 goals, 13-0 and shutting them out, but you are the number one team in the land doing this and celebrating. There is a certain perception that certain countries aren't going to like, that certain people aren't going to like. And it's totally ridiculous to me.
No one complains about when the Patriots beat down the Tennessee Titans 59-0. No one complains when you know the Warriors kick the teeth into the Phoenix Suns. Like, come on. And the other thing too is, it's not like the win is just a standard of points. There's goal differential. So they put up 13. That's going to help them if by some stretch of the imagination they get into a tie-breaking situation for seeding. I mean, come
right.
on.
There's a point.
Come
That's another
on.
Point as well. There is a point in scoring all of these goals, you know? Those that margin of victory counts in certain circumstances when it comes to this format. So please stop it. We're getting way too soft as a society. All right, folks. We'll see you Thursday. The audio for Facebook will be back up, I promise you. And be easy, people.